Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
What will it take for mainstream science and mainstream religions to finally begin to acknowledge and investigate the truth about our fundamentally spiritual reality? I think now that it's going to require the development of some much better way of communicating through the death illusion, and I think most of the experts are starting to feel the same way. When everyone is routinely conversing with those we used to think were dead, the jig for the scientists and the religionists really is going to be up. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is my wonderful, precious friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig has spent his very productive life searching for some way, any way, to break this conspiracy of silence against the truth. And he's with us today to tell us some of what's new. Welcome, Craig. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Hi, Roberta. I'm delighted to be here. So we got lots to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about. Just to orient people, Craig Hogan has a really illustrious history in investigating reality. His book, Your Eternal Self, came out, 8 years ago, and I recommend it to everyone. It's basic information if you want to begin to understand what's actually going on. It's on the cutting edge still after 8 years, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But Craig has become very interested in the use of cutting-edge communication methods to really break through and make this just an everyday occurrence that we get to dial up Aunt Mildred because we forgot one of the ingredients in the recipe, and she'll remind us from beyond the veil. So, Craig, you're working in two areas now, and tell us what they are.
Well, we're actually working in several areas, but the two that are most exciting right now that are yielding the most results are the instrumental transcommunication, meaning using electronic devices to get voices from the other side. In other words, they can have dialogues with us from the other side. Right. And the other is physical mediumship. And physical mediumship means that there's a medium and you sit in a room in a circle with other people and things happen physically in the room. Things fly around the room and people materialize and objects drop out of thin air. So those are the two areas that are really exciting. They're really evidential and we're seeing some real results in them today.
Wow, this is thrilling. Now, we talked a little bit on Seek Reality about materialization or physical mediums. In September, David Thompson was in Scottsdale, and both Craig and I were in a seance with him, and which was wonderfully productive of evidence. In fact, next week, we're going to have Sherry Pearl, whose son appeared at that seance, and that was just, it was not a dry eye. But let's talk about what you're doing. What are you doing to develop an American or one or more American materialization mediums?
If you have the confidence, and we know it's true, that the afterlife or the next plane of life is imminent with us. In other words, we can access it at any time. It's like walking into the next room. So when we know that that's true and we have the conviction that that's true, then it's just a matter of finding the ways in which we can do it. And so what I did 7 years ago was I decided that I would start what's called a physical development circle. And that just means that you have a group of dedicated people and they meet once or twice a week and they sit around a table in the dark and they just have fun and sing songs and raise their vibration by being joyful and happy and harmonious with each other. And eventually then, if there is any energy, if there is some person in the group who is a physical medium, then spirit on the other side will use their energy, and they'll use that person's energy and the energy of the people who are sitting around the table, and they'll produce these materializations, these things that will happen in the room. So I had the conviction that would be true, that we can do it because we know that those on the other side are anxious to communicate and they can communicate. And so I just started a circle to see what would happen.
And what happened with you? So how many people are in your circle? And they get together weekly, right?
I have the conviction that every city has physical mediums in it, and it's just a matter of finding them and cultivating them. So if anybody wants to start a circle, what they have to do is they have to have a group of people who are willing to sit, and they may have to sit for years with nothing happening, and they sit once or twice a week, but that circle is going to change. There are going to be people coming and going. And so that's what happened with us. When we first started the circle, we had a circle of about 7 or 8 people. And we met for probably 3 or 4 years at a room in my house that I dedicated to it. And after that, then that circle kind of dissipated. And there was just me and one other person, and we stayed with it. And then we kept doing it for the next 3 years, and we were getting some results. And then after that, then we had the teams on the other side brought to us. They assembled a team. And these sitters now are just wonderful sitters. They're very, very dedicated. And among these people that we have sitting, there's probably at least 2 physical mediums. One is very strong. He's developing right now. And there's another one who's pretty strong, and she's going to be developing. And then we also probably have 2 or 3 trance mediums in the circle. And they've been assembled. That's the reason that they've come.
Dear, explain what a trance medium is.
A trance medium is someone who goes into trance and they step aside, their consciousness steps aside. And while they're in trance, then the entity, the spirit from the other side, takes over their body and then speaks through their body, uses their vocal cords, uses their body, everything about them, their disposition, takes that over, and then the entity on the other side speaks through them. It's as though the entity were that person, that body, but it's their voice, because what they do is they coat their vocal cords in ectoplasm, and so they produce their voice from the other side, and they speak for extended periods of time from the other side.
Now, when I talk to people about how I've come to understand so much about the afterlife, I talk about the fact that in the late 19th century, through about the year 1920, 1930, there was a heyday of people who were able to go into trance because they had spent so much time developing in the dark, and the communications that they received were so evidential that it's just impossible to read what's in print now of what came through them and not realize that the afterlife is real. So this is very big news, Craig, that you're developing a trance medium or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fully as exciting as the fact that you're developing some materialization mediums. This is so exciting. And now, how many people are in this group from which you have found 4 potentially very good mediums?
Yeah, we have 6. So there are 6 of us in the group. And out of that group, which is astounding, and it's because they've been brought together, they've been assembled by the team on the other side. And people have to realize that we work with teams on the other side. We know the names of some of them. We know that they're involved in what we're doing. And they're pulling all the strings. They're making it happen from their side. And all we have to do is follow through with it, just follow the plan on this side. And so they've assembled this group of people. They're just a wonderful group of 6 people. 2 of us are sitters. You know, I know that I'm the person who pulls things together. My job is to get things going. So I know that I'm not in that circle to become a medium myself. But we have one fellow who is a very strong medium. He goes into trance, and he is having things happen with him now. And we know that he's going to be developing over the next few months. And then we have a second who is either a physical or a trance medium. We don't know yet. She goes into trance, and then she so far has not had anything exciting happen yet, but we know that she is going to be a physical or a trance medium. And then there are 2 other women, and we know that the energy is coming from them, and we know that because the table moves. And so what we have now is when we meet, we hold hands around the circle, and we sing songs, and incidentally, those on the other side, for some reason, just love the heavy metal music. And so what happened, we found that out by accident. We've been doing this for a while. You know, we sat around and sang songs and the things from the 70s and the 80s and we were just having a good time. And it turned out that they would come on and start to move the table when they got some really good electronic guitars, you know, some heavy metal music.
Funny?
It was just funny. But then they would stop when there were horns. So if we played Chicago and the trumpets came on, they would stop. And there was no more activity on the table. But then when the guitar started up with the heavy metal music, then they would start up again. And when I say the table moved, I mean that it's vibrating back and forth, going back and forth enough that we have a bell in the middle of the table, and the clapper and the bell is hitting the sides of the bell while the bell is just sitting there on the table because it's moving so much. And it'll do that for probably in an hour, and it'll just keep moving back and forth. So we know that they just love that heavy metal music.
Oh, my guide, Thomas, seems not to like my modern music at all, so I'm delighted that there are some of the dead who do. This is emphasizing the fact that the real experimenters and the real people running this show are teams of the dead. I've never seen them work alone. They work in teams, and they choose people like Craig that they know are absolutely committed to this work. No matter what, this is his priority. They know that, and so they're giving him all this attention. This is the historical problem has seemed to be that most people who were doing this research had a life, and so they would go to do other things and make this part of their life. At this point, it's become very serious, and the people they seem to be working with now are people who are absolutely committed to bringing this truth to the world. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah, and it takes years for it to happen. Yeah.
So it's been 8 years now. You've been doing this, right?
Yeah, it's we're into our seventh year, and we did hear from Suzanne Wilson, who is the most talented medium I know, mental medium, and she did get the message from our guides that it would be in the seventh year that we would begin to see the activity in ectoplasm. And so we are seeing that. We're seeing that the table is moving regularly. Every time we get together, the table starts to move back and forth, and we expect it to be levitating. In other words, it going up in the air.
Yeah.
And we expect to see then things like the trumpets that we have in the room. It's a metal trumpet. When I say a trumpet isn't like the trumpet that you see in an orchestra, this is rather like a cone.
Yeah.
And on the cone we have luminescent tape. And the luminescent tape is in little strips. It's not all the way around, just in little strips, so that when the trumpet starts to move around the room by itself, then we'll be able to see it because of the luminescent tape. And we expect that to happen any time now because of the fact that everything is happening so strongly, and the seventh year is the year that we were to have things start to happen.
Wow. Now, this is being done in absolute darkness?
Yes. Absolute darkness. And the reason is that it's very difficult for them to materialize, especially with the ectoplasm. White light takes up too much energy, so it saps the energy from the room. And so if the white light is on, then they are not able to produce these kinds of materializations. They can do it sometimes in red light, very light red light. But they are most able to do it, and especially when we're first starting like this and we're just getting it going in complete darkness. So we have a room that is darkened. It has no windows in it. It's actually a room that I use for video work, and so I have soundproofing on the walls, and that goes over the windows as well. So everything is dark, and we sit in the dark for about an hour and a half each time, and we just sing songs and have a great time and enjoy the heavy metal music, and because we're all products of the 70s and 80s, and we just have a great time. And now they have started to respond to that. And I believe that they take such time because of the fact that they really are finding out whether we're serious about it, whether we're dedicated.
Yeah,
and
probably.
When we're dedicated,
Yeah, it's a difficult thing, I think, for them even to establish these communication openings with sufficient strength. I don't think any of us really knows entirely what it is they're doing, but clearly it's a complex process from their side to make sure all the ties with the living who are doing this are tight and to really make it happen. I think this is so exciting. Mm-hmm. I can't begin to tell you. So how long do you sit when you sit
We sit for about an hour and a half.
Okay, an hour and a half.
So we actually have the music timed so that I know when the particular selection comes on that we've gone to an hour and a half. We are ending up going over that because of the fact that the table's moving so strongly that we just want to let it keep on going. And while all this is going on, so we have five of us actually who are sitting around the table. And while this is going on, we have a cabinet. And a cabinet is, if you can imagine, something like a closet, just the wood that would make the outsides or the walls of the closet. So this a cabinet sits all by itself in the room. It's about 7.5 feet tall and 4 feet wide and 4 feet deep. And there's a curtain on the front of it. And the medium, our person who is a developing medium, sits in the cabinet. And the cabinet then concentrates his energy in the cabinet, and that is going to allow things to happen through him with ectoplasm and with other phenomena. And so while he's sitting in the cabinet, we're sitting around the table, and all of the energy then from the cabinet, the energy from the table, the energy from the spirit realm, our energy combines to make things happen in the room.
Wow. I met two of the people who are working with you, and they're pretty young, mm-hmm. right? They're really a whole
yes.
generation younger than we are. Is that true mm-hmm. of the others as well?
Yes. Yep. I'm the old guy in the group.
Isn't that wonderful?
And the rest of them are all...
That's what we're supposed to be doing, is developing yeah. the people who are really going to do this work in 20 or 30
mm-hmm.
years.
Yeah.
So what you're doing
it.
Is very important. Now, mm-hmm. If somebody listening is saying, oh, I want to do that, if they contact you, can you give them some instructions on how to do it in their own
yes.
city?
Yes, right.
So how would they contact you?
All they have to do is get on our websites. And the website name is afterlifeconnections.org, and that explains two of the methods of connecting. And the other website, the one that we're just developing now, and that will have even more information on it, is the Institute's afterlifeinstitute.org. So it's afterlifeinstitute.org. And that's the one that's going to have the most information on it. We're developing that right now, and it will have the information for the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, the nonprofit that we have developed. And there they can find the information. We're going to have information about how to do all of this, any of the forms of mediumship, of connecting with the other side. All of it's going to be on there. So they can go there, and of course, I will help them if they want to send me an email. I'll help them get a group started. It's a matter of starting the group. It requires at least one person who's really, really dedicated, who can hold it all together, and then two or three others if you can find them, and then the others will come as the group matures. In other words, to make up a group of about six, then they will slowly assemble over a period of years. And eventually then it will result in physical manifestations. I believe that the physical mediums are all over, that every city has them, and it's just a matter of getting them together and cultivating them.
So if we had a circle like this going in every city mm-hmm. in the United States, mm-hmm. it would not be long before we would have physical mediums all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
I absolutely have that conviction because I just decided to do that here, and here we come up with probably
yeah.
two physical mediums and two trance mediums just in this little circle that I started here.
Yeah, wow. I should just say, as a point of history, all of those wonderful deep trance mediums of the early 20th century were developed just the same way. They came mm-hmm. out of a sort of upper middle class social milieu in the United States and in Great Britain, in which people would get together for long dinners by candlelight, and then the gentlemen would retire to smoke, and the ladies and maybe one or two gentlemen would often sit in the dark and play with table tipping. And table tipping is nothing but what you're doing. But they would ask questions, and the table would tap out the answers. And this developed some of the greatest trance mediums who have ever lived. So what you're doing is a wonderful thing. I can't begin to tell you how exciting this is.
Yeah, it's just a matter of doing it. So what people have to do is just, if there's an individual who is really committed to doing this, just start a circle, get several people together, plan on it over the period of the next few years. There will be people come and go, but that central person and maybe two others are going to stay there. And that core group is what's going to create the energy. That's what's going to bring it together. And so all they have to do is be committed to doing it. I mean, people in the tradition in the Western culture, every Sunday morning, everybody goes to church and spends an hour and a half in church. That just is the tradition. And you don't think twice about doing that. So what you do is you go to church and you sit there and you sing songs and you say words. And and that's a tradition that people think about doing. They could do the same thing with a circle. So all you have to do is get together once a week and have fun. It's just a wonderful group of people that you meet and you spend time with, and sing songs and have a good time for an hour and a half. And after a period of years, then it will develop into a physical circle.
Wow. Well, I'm just going to pause and identify us, and after I've done that, we're going to start talking about the electronic aspect of what Craig is doing. I think you're going to find that exciting. But meanwhile, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and Flying High in Spirit. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guest today is my very dear friend, Craig Hogan. I consider you, Craig, to be my primary mentor in this work. So much of what I've learned has come either directly or indirectly through your work. So I'm just in awe of your commitment and your zeal and your success at this. And I can't wait to watch the rest of this happening because
It's just a matter of doing it, of conviction.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now,
and I want to tell you one more thing about the physical mediumship, what has been happening in our circle before we go on to the electronic.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This happened the second Sunday night that we met, and we were having the table move. It was going back and forth, rocking back and forth. And so towards the end, I said, well, let's give this a try. Everybody, we had always joined hands, so we were holding hands, but we had our hands resting on the table. So I said, let's try this. Let's try taking our hands, keeping them joined, but taking the hands off the table. So we did that. We took our hands off the table, but had them joined, and the table stopped. But then the three ladies, and that's where the energy is coming from. Those are the two trance mediums and one physical medium. The three ladies, their hands started to move up and down involuntarily. They said it was feeling like they were marionettes. And their hands would alternately move up and down, and then they started beating on the table, up and then down, coming down, beat on the table without their control. This was happening. So spirit, in other words, was saying, we want you to have your hands on the table, and we're also going to show you what we can do physically with you. And so that was an exciting development.
Yes.
And so I wanted to let you know about that.
So have they told us anything about what comes next? In the seventh year, we get these wonderful beginnings of phenomena. Have they talked about the future, either directly to you or through Suzanne?
They have not, but what we do expect to happen is through Suzanne, they have said that we will have ectoplasm. And that ectoplasm means that there is a substance that comes out of the medium's body, and this will be our physical medium who's in the cabinet. And the ectoplasm then will form rods, and the rods will grab things in the room and move them around. So in other words, it'll grab the trumpets, which is like a cone, and it will raise it into the air and swirl it around the room at speeds so fast that the luminescent tape will look like a single line going around the room.
Yeah.
And they will move things, they'll ring bells, they will touch the sitters, and we expect that to be happening this coming year.
Double wow.
Mm-hmm.
Before too long, I would love to just be a fly on the wall at one of these sessions. Whenever you're ready to start having outsiders come, I would love to be part of that. I think
The next step. Then once the activities are going on their own, and we know that they're going to be repeatable, and those in spirit feel comfortable with it, then we ask them, and if they feel that it's okay, then we can have people come in and sit in. And
Yay.
That's what we did with David Thompson, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
So we
yes.
expect that to happen.
So it's quite conceivable we'll have someone in the United States who's young, who is developing the same abilities as David Thompson, whose abilities are simply extraordinary. This would be exciting all by itself, but we're also working on something else that's big. And we've talked, Craig and I, about the possibility that this may be the actual breakthrough, that it makes it impossible for scientists and religionists any longer to deny that reality is as reality is. I mean, this is something they've fought for more than 100 years. So tell us about the electronic aspect of your work. You're following in the footsteps of Sonia Rinaldi, right?
Right. Sonia Rinaldi is a Brazilian researcher, and in about 2001, she started working with a method of communicating with the other side using electronic media. And what she does is she has, and I'll tell you the whole setup. So she has two speakers, and out of the speakers are coming syllables of vocal sounds, but they're not words. In other words, the sounds have been chopped up. So you don't get any words in them, you just get syllables. And so it's gibberish, it doesn't make any sense. And that's being played out of the speakers. And she has a microphone in front of the speakers. And the microphone is hooked up to a PC, just a plain old PC. And then it's recording. So the microphone is recording the gibberish as it comes out of the speakers. And then what she does when she began her research, she asked questions of those on the other side. And she would primarily ask for children on the other side to communicate with their parents. So she would ask the children questions like, do you have anything to say to your mother? And then she would wait 10 seconds or 15 seconds because she wouldn't hear anything. It's just the recording is going on, the speakers, the gibberish is coming out, and it's being recorded, and the question is being recorded, but you don't hear anything. And then she would ask you another question, like, what are you doing on the other side? And then she would wait 10 or 15 seconds. Then what would happen is they would play back the recording that had been made on the PC. And on the recording, of course, you would hear the gibberish. You would hear those syllables that were being played. And then you would hear the question, do you have anything to say to your mother? And then on the recording that was played back, then the voice of the child would come through.
Wow.
So in other words, that somehow those on the other side are able to take the nonsense syllables and convert them into actual words that the child says to his or her parents. Sonia has done this for as many as 163 parents in a single month. And each one of the sessions she does in a single month.
Wow.
And each one of the sessions that she does can have as many as 200 of these questions and responses. And the responses are very clear. It's just like somebody who's standing in the room talking. And that was what we had learned from Sonia when we had her come up for the conference that we held in 2014.
Right. Now, parents, then, when they hear this, do they say, yes, that's my child's voice?
Yes. The intonation, the things that they say, they talk back and forth about personal things. So it obviously is the child. Now, we have to understand that this really isn't a voice. So what's being recorded is just the electromagnetism. It's the pattern that's on the hard drive, and that pattern then plays back as a voice, but there's no voice from the other side involved. So in other words, they're able to take the electromagnetism, create the patterns on the hard drive, and then when it plays back, it comes back as a voice and it sounds like the child.
Is the child saying familiar things? Is it evidentiary, in other
words?
It's
evidentiary.
Really,
in other words,
It's like the child's thoughts are using that.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very technical on the other side. They describe it as being, there's a device, and they describe it as a machine. They say it's a machine. And the person, the child on the other side, then projects their thoughts to the machine, and then the machine is able to convert that into the signal. It goes through several realms before it gets to us. And then after it gets to, goes through those several realms, then it becomes the electromagnetism signals on the hard drive. So the child then, it's the machine that converts the child's thoughts or the child's intention to send a message into the electromagnetism that creates the voice. Very complicated.
But amazingly then, but the voice does sound to the parent like the actual child's voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. The intonation, everything about it.
To us, it seems, well, sure, they should be able to talk. They're still who they are. Well, yes, except they don't have a body, and they're living in a place where all communication is basically what we would call telepathic. They don't customarily speak in words. So for them to do what they have to do to create a conversation like this with loved ones is phenomenal. And no wonder it's taken such a long time and been so difficult, and it has required really dedicated researchers who are willing to give decades to this work.
Mm-hmm. On the other side, as well as this side, because on the other side, they have to make the phenomena. So in other words, they're making the equipment. They're creating the technical equipment to make this happen on the other side. And they do describe it as equipment. So it isn't just thoughts, you know, it is equipment. And of course, we know on the next plane of life, you know, it's called Summerland, that it's exactly the same as the Earth plane. It looks like the same thing. It's substantial, and
it's solid.
There are roads and houses, and so then they do create technical devices.
It's
a laboratory. It's just like a laboratory.
People who were trained in science on Earth very often will arrive there and find a laboratory waiting for them, created by
a colleague. Among the people that we know around the team are Nikola Tesla, Edison, Carl Sagan is, we know that they're on the team, and researchers, Montague Keen is on the team, David Baum, who is a quantum physicist.
Sure.
And so we know that these are the people who are on the team. These are people who were working in these areas on this side of life, and now that they're on that side of life, they're staying working to make this communication possible because they're dedicated to it. And we know that eventually it will be like picking up the phone, that we know that we can communicate. We will be able to communicate easily and regularly with those on the other side.
But we know
there are enough methods right now that we can that everybody can communicate. Everybody can find a way to communicate.
These methods exist. The problem is that we have two bastions of ignorance, mainstream religion and mainstream science, which refuse to look at any of this stuff, and they only will begin to look at it when they can't avoid it. So we're working on something so clear they can't possibly avoid knowing about it and needing to answer for it. But the problem is Sonia is in Brazil, and her station that's on the other side station working with her is Portuguese. They speak Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, I don't know when it was, we were told, you've got to do this for a North American station. Tell us that story. How did you learn that you had to do it yourself, and when did you begin?
Well, we found out when we had Sonia come up for the conference in 2014. She was trying to connect with her Brazilian station. They call it a station. So this is a place, a station in which all this activity is happening on the other side.
Right.
So she connected with her Brazilian station, and I told her we needed some things in English because everything was coming through in Portuguese. And so we needed something in English for this conference. And so she worked at it and worked at it and tried to get them on the other side to speak. She had English speakers come in and ask questions, and everything was still coming out in Portuguese. And so she finally did get a small number of English statements, but she discovered when she queried it, when she asked, why is this true? Why can we only get Portuguese? That apparently the machine that they have, that they've established on the other side, has a lexicon that is a Portuguese lexicon. And so they're limited to using Portuguese words because they established the Brazilian station, and it takes a lot of work And so they had to work at getting it together. But then when we expressed an interest in having something like this in English, then we discovered that they said that they were dedicated to going ahead and helping us to establish the North American station. So we then learned about the fact that they were going to work with us to establish the North American station, and we became dedicated. We record twice a week, every week, and there are other groups that are recording to try to help to establish the North American station. We're getting the signals coming through. We're getting the responses from them, and they're becoming stronger and stronger. And so the North American station will be developed in 2016. It's going to be developed this year, and we will be able to have communication then in English through the North American station.
It's going to be developed this year? Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what Suzanne says, right? That's what we're getting from them on the other side. And we've asked the question, too, and the way that we ask it is, as it stands right now, we can get words and small phrases because it's very difficult for them to get the signal through. And we have some interference along the way as well, so that doesn't help. And what we do is we ask them the question, and we say, if you are going to be able to have this refined so we get clear communication in the first months of 2016, please say 2016. And then what we do is we're recording this. Of course, we don't hear it. But then when we play it back after we've said, please say 2016, if it's going to happen in 2016, in the first 3 months of 2016, then we would hear the 2016. They would say that very clearly. We don't get that for the first 3 months. So then we ask them, if you believe that it will happen later in 2016, but it will happen, then please say later. And we get later. So that we do get the response, yes, later.
Wow.
But we know it's going to happen in 2016, but not the first 3 months. It's going to be later than that. Probably the summer, we're expecting.
Wow. The people working with you then are Carl Sagan, the English speakers you mentioned, Einstein and so on. Wow. That is so exciting.
Right.
And how wonderful of them to be, because they could be doing a lot more exciting things than patiently working with you to develop this. So that just shows how dedicated.
But they're dedicated to it.
Yeah.
They're as dedicated to it on their side as we're dedicated to it on this side.
Isn't that?
And so we're all working together. It's one big team. One big team. Our side and their side. And we are seeing the results of it. What's happening now is we are getting responses where we ask a question or we give them a name and we say, please repeat the name Washington. And we'll hear right after that Washington, perhaps several times. And what they're doing is they're practicing. And we'll ask them things like, give us the first words of the Constitution of the United States. And we will hear, we the people. And so we're getting the responses, and they just get stronger and stronger. It takes development. The way that someone has described it, it's like laying fiber optic cable.
Yes.
And so they have to get the machine together that has the lexicon so that people can think into the machine. And then the machine will convert that into a signal, and then it goes across these transmission lines and comes to us, and then it changes the electromagnetism on the hard drive, and then we play it back, and it says a voice.
That is so exciting. So I had a tiny, tiny, tiny part to play in this last year sometime when I was talking with Suzanne, and she said suddenly, why am I seeing Craig Hogan's face? And I said, well, you know, he's like one of my closest friends, and he's working on, and she broke in, and she said, oh, I'm getting a message for you to give to him. And that was when we first learned about the lizard people.
The lizard people, the entities,
And she, the way Suzanne described them was they looked like lizards. They're very evil. She couldn't even bear to look at them. But the message
she said they're creepy.
Yes. The message was that they now had figured out why they were having trouble establishing the North American station, and it was that these very evil entities, not material, they're in the lowest levels of the non-material ether, they feed off the negative energy that the Earth gives off now in abundance. So the last thing they want is for us to be able to prove, to communicate with our loved ones and prove that life is eternal because their jig is up. So when I told you this, you were relieved, right? Because you thought
Oh, yeah.
you were in a mess. Right. Tell us that story.
Because what happened was we came back from the conference very excited about the North American station. And so we sat for about 2 months, and we continued to use the gibberish and record it and ask questions. We weren't getting anything for a couple of months, which we would expect. And then we started to get responses, very good responses. We would just ask questions, and either just before the question or just after it, we would get the response. Often it would happen just before they knew what the question was going to be.
Of course.
And so that was really exciting. That was only after a couple of months. But then, after all the excitement and we were getting these responses, suddenly everything went dead.
Oh.
And we were just really discouraged. We couldn't figure out what was going on. We didn't know if it was something we were doing wrong or if it was something that they'd given up on us or what was going on. And that's when we got that wonderful message through you, your guides, to me, through Suzanne, saying that these entities had interfered, that they were strong enough that the signal had to go through their realm, and when it went through their realm, they were interfering with it, and they were the ones who created the problem. And they said, don't give up. Stay with it. Keep the momentum. Because in another year or so, we're going to be able to vanquish, is the word they used. So we're going to vanquish these entities.
Yes.
And then later on in another reading, they said they were going to compress them. And they compressed them with love. Because
isn't
they're negative entities.
What is the weapon that the dead would use against evil? They've squashed them with love.
Wash them with love. Compress them with love, yeah.
Yes.
And so we are fully expecting that to happen. But that was wonderful when you gave us that message, because that was a great relief to us. We were very disappointed when they stopped. But now they're coming back. So the signal is weak, but we do get regular responses, so we'll ask them questions and they respond. We have had one reading that we have done with a parent to try to connect with a child, and the child's name was Becca. We didn't know that, but we asked whether the child was available to communicate, if the child was available to communicate, to say their name, and they said very, very clearly, Becca, right after that.
Oh.
And so that was our first connection with a child on the other side for a parent. And so then we know that they are getting stronger. Anybody can do this. We invite everybody to become part of this research. It's very easy to do. All it takes is a PC, a microphone, and two speakers. And the procedure for doing it is on the website. It is on spiritualunderstanding.org. But they can get to it again through afterlifeinstitute.org. Everything's going to be on afterlifeinstitute.org.
But does it require special software?
No special software. There is just a standard recording software. There's a free software, free software online called Audacity. And all they have to do is download this free software called Audacity and install it. And it will record and it will play back. And everything is in the instructions for using Audacity to do that. And we use Adobe Audition, but Audacity works fine. So it really requires no specialized equipment, no specialized software, and anybody can do it, and we would love to have more people involved in it.
So if someone is in the United States and wants to do this, are they communicating with the North American station then?
Mm-hmm.
So they would be communicating with the North American station. The North American station. Let's suppose people are doing this at once.
No, they do need to have the signal getting stronger. So they do need to have that activity. So the more people, the merrier.
The more, the better. Okay,
the more, the better.
Information is available on, say again, the website name.
Well, we're going to go ahead and put it on our institute website, so they can go to Afterlife Institute. .org.
Perfect.
Afterlifeinstitute.org.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we'll have the link to the instructions there. And anybody can get on and they can do it themselves and start to help us to make the connection. As the connection becomes stronger, then they will be able to communicate and help other people to communicate. We've been given the commission by those on the other side that the first people we need to work with are parents connecting with their children on the other side.
Yes,
so that's our first commitment.
It's strongest too. But now, what if someone's in another country? Let's say someone's Australian or in Europe, and they're hearing this and say, "I want to do that too." Are there stations being developed in all around the world now?
There is a station that's already developed, and it actually was going before Sonia began hers. There, it's was developed. It's called the Rio do Tempo. Or
yeah, time stream station. Yeah.
Is it also Portuguese? But it also does other languages. But it Annabella Cardosa, who is a diplomat. She's the general consul for Portugal, and she's very involved in ITC, and she's been doing it. She has wonderful results. So anybody who is in Europe can connect to the Rio do Tempo. And when I spoke in Montreal, and the people in Montreal, of course, speak French. And their first question was, well, can we establish a French station in Montreal? And my response to them was, go ahead and do it.
Just go ahead and
give it a try. If they're dedicated, then those on the other side are going to acknowledge that dedication, and they're going to try to establish a station. So anybody can do it. Any language can do it. And I would just recommend that people give it a try.
You just have to have patience, because they're going to work with you.
Just have to have patience.
Yes, they're going to work with you. They won't give up. And so you can't either once you begin.
That's it.
Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time. I want to say a couple of things. First, I want to say that the people doing this research are doing it without funds. We've had frustrations in the past when the dead have tried to get us to build things here. They forget you need money to build some things. This has especially happened to Gary Schwartz, who's also working in the same field. All it takes is money. If there is someone listening who has a few extra dollars, there is a nonprofit which will bring the future, and it just needs funds so that we can do for the dead, who are the real researchers, what they need us to do on this side to make it happen faster. It's going to happen anyway, but I cannot think of a more noble thing to do for humankind than to be funding the research that is going to free us from fear and bring the world together in peace. That's what this is going to do. But anyway, I'm so sorry we've come to the end of our time. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really understand what that means, it's just going to change everything for the better. If you want to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on webtalkradio.net and also iTunes. Just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You know what my books are. I don't need to recite them again, but they're all available. More information about them is available on my website, robertagrimes.com, plus my blog. I'm trying to get back to blogging weekly again, but we get wonderful comments from people who read my blog, and I'm so grateful for that. Our guest next week is going to be Sherry Pearl. When Craig and I both were at the amazing September conference seance with materialization medium David Thompson, several relatives of the dead came through in astonishing ways, and one was Sherry's son. I think you're going to find her story to be compelling. The information she has to share is amazing, so please don't miss us next week. This week, our guest has been Dr. R. Craig Hogan, who is my big personal hero. Craig is a living legend in the field of afterlife research and understanding, and I think it's primarily because he's so selfless about this. I mean, he doesn't want anything for himself. He's developing this without ever trying to think of a way to monetize it for himself. He wants to give the world for free some wonderful, wonderful things. He's already, of course, written Your Eternal Self, which I think is the major classic in this field. And if you haven't read it, please read it now. And before doing the work that we heard about today, he had already developed Self-Guided Afterlife Connections, which take a little work on your part, But I've talked with some people who have been through that program. It's free. And some of them are just having constant, frequent visits with their dead loved ones in a solid place, walking on the beach, holding hands, giving hugs, and talking. So if that's something that appeals to you, then Craig will tell us what the website is for that. In fact, why don't you give us your websites one more time, dear, because I think a lot of people are going to want to go and hear about this.
And so they can go to afterlifeinstitute.org. That's going to be where the one where everything is. Or they can go to afterlifeconnections.org, and that has information about specific methods of connecting. And that has the self-guided afterlife connection and one that's done by psychotherapists called Guided Afterlife Connections. So those are the two that they can go to that will give them the information they need.
Wow. And if they go to one of those websites, if there's a way to contact you, right, if they really want
yes.
to ask you a
mm-hmm.
question? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yep, got a phone number and the email address.
Craig is sort of like me. I mean, our whole purpose really is to give you the information you're going to need and to prepare the ground for those who come after us who are going to get to actually share. We'll be in the bleachers sort of kicking our feet and all excited when the real developments happen, probably mid-century. But some of them are going to happen sooner, and we're excited to be able to do that. Craig is now doing something which should have been done a long time ago. He's focusing all his attention on coming up with a simple way for everyone to be in close eternal touch with loved ones. This is the only thing that's going to finally free humankind from all the false belief systems, materialism, deism, all the things that are keeping us really in fear and in doubt. We'll be past them only when we get genuine, genuine proof of an afterlife, proof that nobody can deny. And thanks to dedicated people like my dear friend Craig, this will be the century when we all together vanquish human cluelessness. Not only does learning the truth make you as happy as you can possibly be, but each person who now learns the truth is advancing the awareness of all humankind. We've got a whole world to save, dear friends, and it is not too late. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.